are Locked On Cougars. This is your daily source of all things BYU news, notes, and insider information you can't find anywhere else. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Jay Catch on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. We can be found everywhere fine podcasts are to be found. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and hopefully coming soon to Pandora. Just more sources and more avenues for you to catch all the news you need to find out in BYU News with Locked On Cougars. Thanks again for joining me today. On today's show, we're going to be talking about BYU football, former Cougars in the pros. We'll talk with Kalani Sitake in this first segment. He spoke to the media yesterday after practice, had some interesting notes that we'll get to here in this first segment. Second segment, we'll catch you up with former Cougars in the pros. Just 3 weeks remaining now in the NFL season. Some former Cougars on teams that are looking like they're going to be playoff bound, others kind of playing out the string. We'll talk about their performances in week 14 in the second segment. And of course, in the final segment of the show, we'll catch you up on everything else we haven't touched on in today's show with Quick Hits. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sling TV. We will tell you what they are offering Locked On Cougars listeners here in a moment. All right, without further ado, let's get going. This is Locked On Cougars for December 11th, 2018. BYU football held their media availability yesterday. They'll have two of them this week here in Provo before they depart for Boise ahead of the famous Idaho Potato Bowl next week. Had a chance to go down there myself, speak with some coaches and players. Later this week, you'll be hearing from BYU defensive coordinator Elisa Tuiaki, also safety Troy Warner. I spoke to both of those gentlemen one-on-one. We'll get to those interviews later this week, so stay tuned for that. But I wanted to get to some comments from Kalani Sitake yesterday, BYU head coach. He spoke to the media. Usually only gets to speak once a week, and normally it's on Mondays. So yesterday he spoke to the media. Had some interesting notes. We'll play the interview, the entire media session, in its entirety here for you and discuss some of the notes from it. You want to pay particular attention here early on as he talks about kind of the plan going into the bowl game, preparation-wise, and also how they plan to deploy players. Young freshmen who have a chance to redshirt still, how he plans on using them in this game, and also how it helps them in terms of using this time, these 15 NCAA allotted practices they have for the bowl season ahead of this bowl game to get ready for 2019 and beyond. So we'll play this interview now. Kalani Sitake speaking to the media yesterday after practice.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the 15 practices, you know, and we're using every one of them. We may have a few short practices in between, but I think it's important for our guys to get out and run our system and do all our install for the game. It gives us a lot of time to prepare for this game, and I think we should be sharp. We'll see how it works.
How much time do you spend, you know, just kind of working on the little details and the fundamental things versus install and game prep?
All of it. I mean, you figure with the 15 practices that we're allowed, in the 12-game season, you get about five practices per game. That's 60, right? And so we have a quarter's worth of season prep right now. And so you have to work on a lot of fundamentals and technique. And this just gives us an extra spring ball preparation. But then we get to play a real game at the end of it. So we have a lot of freshmen that are going to contribute in this game because we're allowed to redshirt them still. And I'm thankful that the NCAA allows us to do that. And so I think there's a little bit more urgency from them to get better with their technique and with the install and with the scheme, and so that's, I think it'll be fun for these guys, and being able to play on special teams will be a huge advantage for us too.
You touched on this, but at the beginning of the year you were excited about the new rule redshirt wise. Mm-hmm. How has it played out? How has it been adjusting to that, just as far as the coaching staff to understand where guys are at and how you're going to use them?
Yeah, it's been working really well. I mean, our guys, there's some that have gone past the four-game mark, but for the most part, the majority of the guys have an extra game to play, and we utilize all the time to get them ready, but also give them a chance, whether it's running down on a kickoff or providing more depth. I think it's just a huge advantage for us to get this done with this much time and knowing that we have these many practices to get ready for a game.
How would you assess the overall contributions of this freshman class and this kind of the role they've played this year?
Well, a lot of them are playing, and they're competitive. And so I think with our game time and with allowing the competition to take over, and when they compete and practice, they get rewarded for playing time in the game. I think that's something that a lot of the guys are looking forward to, you know. So I think I give a lot of applaud. I basically applaud a lot of the coaches for trusting the freshmen and going with the talent if they can do it. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to compete, and regardless of their age or their experience, the best will play.
Have you noticed a little extra intensity or hunger from some of the guys who, you know, were here last year but remember what it was like to not be able to practice at this time of year?
Yeah, there's a little extra in their step. There's a lot of excitement and energy in it, and even with going to more than a regular spring practices, you know, that I think the guys are excited about the game. It's going up. We have an opponent, so they're watching a lot more film, and we're trying to balance that up with finals. But I think this has taken a lot of a huge priority for a lot of our players, and doing it for the seniors and missing out on last year. So yeah, there's been that. There's a lot of intensity. There's fights and stuff going on in practices, but that's part of it. We just had to condition them and get them ready and remind them that fighting doesn't help us in football games. But I like the intensity and the competition.
Of the guys that you mentioned last week that may be cutting it close to being able to play with injuries, is there any update to those, or is that still where things stand?
Yeah, we don't have a depth chart set yet, if that's what you're asking, I think. There's a lot of guys that are still in the mix, so we'll see. But as far as injuries and all that stuff go, we're still we're feeling good about Lopini being on the field again. Not so good about Isaiah, but we'll see how it looks this next week.
A lot of is made about the coach coming in a transition and bringing in, you know, working with the guys that are already there, but then also getting recruits that kind of match their style. BYU is a little bit different because of the missions and stuff. Mm-hmm. How different is it for you? Has it been, you know, working with the guys that were here versus the guys that you recruited and your staff recruited and brought in as far as that went?
They're all my guys when I first got here. I mean, that's I don't look at it just because I wasn't there when they signed the NLI or anything like that. I'm the coach here. I've asked our staff to feel the same way they have. And so, you know, we have to gain their trust, and we have to ask them to stretch the limits when it comes to getting better athletically and even academically and even off the field. So my main focus is that they're my guys, they're my family, and I don't really associate any other way than that.
You were obviously pretty good friends with Gary Anderson over mm-hmm. the years. What did you think of his move to go back to Utah State this weekend?
That's great. I talked to Gary, and I know he's putting together a staff, but excited that he's a head coach again. And, you know, it's going to be competitive, and we're always going to have our friendship, but I'm looking forward to going up to Logan next year for, you know, and trying to compete and get that win. But I'm happy for him.
Obviously one game, but what is kind of the difference mentally in a 6-7 season versus a 7-6, a win record and a losing record?
I'm not really worried about that. I'm just trying to get this win. I mean, I've been around some really good coaches that know how to prepare for a bowl game. We're utilizing a lot of that in what we're doing in our schedule. And so you know, Kyle's had a great system going in bowl prep, and we're doing a lot of the same kind of stuff. And I've been able to work with Kyle and Gary, and so it worked out for us when we went to our first bowl game in 2016, and so now we're implementing a lot of the same stuff and probably doing a little bit more with the time that we've been given. And so we're using all the practices we did last time, but I think we probably had more padded practices this time than last time.
The more you've looked at Western Michigan, has anything else stood out to you in terms of the type of team you're facing?
Yeah, well-coached team. They're tough. You know, it's going to be a good gonna be a good battle, so I'm expecting a physical game, and we have to match the physicality. So I think our guys are ready for the challenge. We'll see what happens.
There you go, BYU head coach Kalani Sitake speaking to the media yesterday. Appreciate him as always for taking the time to speak with us. And on the injury front, it was interesting to hear him say that he doesn't expect Isaiah Kafusi to be ready for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, so that hurts BYU at linebacker in particular. But he also had some good news on the injury front when it came to Lopini Katoa. He believes that Lopini should be able to go based on what it's looking like currently. That means Katoa is recovering faster than anticipated from the knee procedure he underwent the final week of the season. Had surgery on that knee, and it looks like he is on track to be able to return. I saw him during practice yesterday, just waiting for practice. He was off to the side with some of the teammates, working out, doing various calisthenics and stretches and different movements to kind of get their bodies back in shape. Guys like Riley Burt were alongside them, and Riley, I would expect, plays in this game as well, but it'll be interesting to see how the running game goes, especially in the light of having Matt Hadley out for the season with that fractured leg he suffered against Utah. It's good to hear Lopini Katoa be back. Bummer to hear that Isaiah Kafusi, his season might be done. I saw another photo of him on social media the other day of him still on a knee scooter. So, yeah, it doesn't bode well for him getting back in time to play for BYU. All right, we will take a time out here. We'll come back. We got to update you on former Cougars in the pros, how they performed in Week 14 of the NFL season. Some guys returning to the starting lineups for their respective teams. Some of these teams, some of the players for BYU will be in the playoffs, it looks like. Other guys playing out the string here, playing for pride, and in some cases playing for a contract, and we'll update you on that coming up next. Want to let you know about one of our sponsors on today's show, a longtime sponsor, and that is Sling TV. Sling TV is here when you want to watch the game and you need to watch those games. Speaking of college sports, college football in particular, bowl season coming up, and if you're afraid you won't be able to catch all of the bowl action you can handle, what you can do is you go to Sling TV, and for just $30 a month, you got all the ESPN networks, Pac-12 networks, SEC networks, and more, so you can catch all the college football and all the rest of the college sports you can handle this year. You can stream it on your big screen TV. You also can take it via their mobile apps on your tablet or phone. A phenomenal feature of Sling TV is the ability to pick the channel lineups you want. It's not a bundled package. You pick the channel lineup you want. That's what you pay for. There are no hidden fees. You know exactly what you're paying for right up front. There are no long-term contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Locked On Cougars listeners, you can get a 7-day free trial by going to sling.com/lockedon and check it out for yourself. Once again, sling.com/lockedon, a 7-day free trial to check out Sling TV and all it offers. Once again, go to sling.com/lockedon, get that 7-day free trial, and see if Sling TV is the right option for you when it comes to watching your college sports. Welcome back to Locked On Cougars. We are your daily source for all things BYU news on the Locked On Podcast Network, where, of course, we are the United States' number one daily local podcast site. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Jay Catch, talking former Cougars and the pros as we do every Tuesday, updating you on former BYU players who are playing in the professional ranks now. Week 14 of the NFL season finished up last night, the Seattle Seahawks beating the Minnesota Vikings 21-7. Kind of a clunker of a game until the fourth quarter, but fun game all the same. And BYU players, there weren't any in that game in particular, but there are plenty of BYU players we need to talk about. So let's get started now. We'll start off with Ezekiel Ansah. Came on as a substitute in Detroit's 17-3 win over Arizona. The rough part was that Ziggy, he finished with two tackles, one solo, one assisted, but he was injured on that second tackle with another shoulder injury. It's possible he could be done in Detroit now because he's going to be a free agent this season. He played under the franchise tag this year, made a lot of coin under that franchise tag, but has not played a lot as a result of shoulder injuries this season. We'll see what happens. I'm expecting Ziggy will get another opportunity in the NFL. His physical gifts are something that NFL teams covet. It's just a matter of him staying healthy. Unfortunate to see him go out with 3 weeks remaining in the season. It's likely his season could be done, which would be rough to say the least, but we'll keep you updated on any news when it comes to Ziggy. Michael Davis, the starting cornerback for the Los Angeles Chargers, started once again this season. The Chargers beat Cincinnati 26-21. Davis had a big game, 5 solo tackles, 1 assisted tackles, played nearly every defensive snap in the game, and he's having a great season to this point. He's collected 28 solo tackles this season, 6 assisted tackles, 3 pass breakups, and 1 forced fumble. Just a great story, like I've said multiple times. Michael Davis, starting cornerback for the Los Angeles Chargers. John Denny, the long snapper for the Miami Dolphins, continues to be just that stalwart Iron Man for the Dolphins. If you didn't see the end of this game, the double lateral, hook and lateral play that the Dolphins used to stun the New England Patriots. Absolutely crazy ending, but Miami beats New England 34-33. No stats for Denny in this game, but as a long snapper, you don't want your name to be known necessarily, and he continues to get it done. He's carved out a long career for himself, so hats off to John Denny. On the opposite sideline of that game was Kyle Van Noy. He actually had a chance to make a tackle on that final play, was unable to bring the ball carrier down. I believe it was Kenyon Drake, who ultimately scored the winning touchdown, is who Van Noy was trying to tackle, came up short. He didn't have a good game, though. Van Noy had 4 solo tackles in the loss, 2 assisted tackles, half a sack, and 1 quarterback hurry. He played every snap on defense, but just unfortunate that his team was unable to come up with the win. Crazy final play. I would encourage you to go check it out. I don't know how many of you guys are NFL fans, but if you're on social media, you can check it out and see all of the craziness that went down. Rob Gronkowski kind of playing that last line of defense in this prevent defense. Almost got the tackle right at the goal line, but Kenyon Drake outran him. And yeah, Miami wins an absolutely wild game. So hats off to the Dolphins there. Daniel Sorensen, the safety for Kansas City. He got his first start of the season. Of course, he missed the first half of the year after undergoing knee surgery during training camp. But he got his first start in their 27-24 win over Baltimore, a comeback win for the Chiefs. He finished with 1 solo tackle and 2 assisted tackles in the game. Played every snap on defense. So good to see Daniel Sorensen back at full health. He's played 4 games so far this year, just 6 solo tackles along with 6 assisted tackles on the season. But Daniel Sorensen back at full health, good to see him finally back, especially in the light of a guy who has carved out quite the niche for himself after being an undrafted free agent. I need to talk to you about Fred Warner, of course. He started in San Francisco's stunning 20-14 win over Denver. Not his best performance in terms of the statistics for San Francisco, with Warner finishing with 4 total tackles, 3 of them solo. He played every snap on defense, and he is going to be a starting linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers for the foreseeable future. And it's just awesome to see what he's doing. He's currently 3rd on the all-time 49ers rookie tackle list. Chris Borland, a former linebacker who played just a couple of years for the Niners, had 107 in 2014. I would guess that Fred Warner passes that. But number 1 on that list is the former all-pro, all-everything linebacker Patrick Willis, a future Hall of Famer. In 2007 as a rookie, Patrick Willis collected 174 tackles. Okay. I don't see Fred Warner collecting 80 tackles in the next 3 games to pass Patrick Willis, but still an all-time performance as a rookie for Fred Warner, and it looks like he is going to be part of the San Francisco 49ers plans going forward for the foreseeable future, and that's great to see. Stop off in New Orleans with Taysom Hill, of course, the do-everything guy. His legend continues to be cemented. That was one of the headlines after he went and blocked a punt on Sunday for the New Orleans Saints. It keyed them in a comeback win. They scored 25 unanswered points to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 28-14. He was sacked in this game for 6-yard loss. He made up for it with that blocked punt. He played just 7 snaps on offense, also played 22 on special teams. Taysom, man, he continues to get all kinds of pub. I work with David James and Patrick Kinahan at the Zone Sports Network, and as PK says, has any quarterback gotten more pub for doing less as a quarterback? And that's a fair question, but Taysom Hill, an electrifying player, a great athlete, and he continues to get it done, just adding to his legacy. This season, he's completed passes, he's run for a touchdown, he's caught a pass, he's returned kicks, he's recorded tackles on special teams, and now has blocked a punt. That comes from ESPN Stats and Info, their Twitter feed over the weekend. A couple more players before we go to break here include Jamal Williams. He actually started once again in Green Bay's 34-20 victory over Atlanta. carried the ball four times for 17 yards. He played 24 snaps on offense in this game. So now he's started six games this season as a starter, seven of them as a substitute. On the season, Williams has 86 carries for 310 yards and one touchdown. Of course, Aaron Jones has taken the lion's share of the reps away from him with the Green Bay Packers, but it was good to see Jamal back in the starting lineup. This is going to be an interesting situation now that they have fired their head coach, Mike McCarthy. Joe Philbin has taken over as interim head coach. I'm interested to see where Jamal Williams' role with this team ends up being come this offseason when a new coach is hired. One final note for you before we take a break here is that Bronson Cafusi, he's been on the New York Jets practice squad. He was activated to the active roster for the Jets ahead of their game this past weekend, but he was not on the active rosters. Hopefully that makes sense. He was added to the active roster, but they have to designate, I believe, eight or nine guys who are ineligible to play in that game. So he did not play this past weekend, but he is on the active roster, and that's good to see because Bronson started the year, of course, getting cut by the Baltimore Ravens and on the final day of roster cutdowns, got picked up by New York and has been grinding on their practice squad ever since. So congratulations to him on being picked up to the active roster. Hopefully we'll see him make his debut back in the NFL with the New York Jets in coming days. All right, there you go. That's the former Cougars and the pros. Always good to see these guys playing well. We'll keep you updated on these guys as their seasons play out. I'm guessing we could see two or three more players picked up to the active roster based on them being on practice squads like a Tomasi Laulile, a Kai Nakua, a DeAndre Wesley, etc. But we'll keep you updated as that goes forward here in the stretch run of the NFL season. All right, we'll be back on the other side catching up on everything else we have to touch on in today's podcast that we haven't touched on, I guess, is what I should say. And of course, if you have any questions, concerns, anything I can help you out with when it comes to BYU news, something you'd want me to touch on, feel free to reach out anytime on Twitter. My personal Twitter feed is at Jacob C. Hatch. You also can follow the show on Facebook and Twitter by looking up Locked On Cougars. Happy to answer any questions for you there. And if you are interested in advertising with us or simply have a question that you'd like to email to me, you can do that by emailing me at lockedonbyu@gmail.com. We're still in the launch phase of the Locked On Podcast Network College arm. Great rates to advertise with us here on Locked On Cougars. Would be a privilege and an honor to sponsor your company and help represent your brand if you are so inclined. So hit me up, lockedonbyu@gmail.com. All right, we will step aside. We'll come back on the other side and catch up with everything else we need to touch on in today's podcast with Quick Hits. This is Locked On Cougars. Locked On Cougars, your daily source here on this podcast of all things BYU news, notes, and opinion, as well as insider information you can't find anywhere else. And as we wrap up today's edition of the show, two notes to touch on when it comes to quick hits. BYU basketball news, Yoli Childs, just an absolutely incredible week for him. Back-to-back 31-point performances as BYU blew out both Utah State and Utah in their two big rivalry games last week. Well, he has been honored as West Coast Conference Player of the Week, as well as NCAA March Madness National Player of the Week for his performances. He averaged, like I said, 31 points in both games, 9 rebounds, and 2.5 steals. He shot 70.6% from the field and 92.3% from the free throw line. Just an awesome performance for Yoli Childs. BYU basketball back in action tomorrow night, taking on Portland State. We'll have a breakdown of that for you tomorrow. I'm going to be out at their media availability today, hoping to catch up with a player or coach, and we'll get you some of that sound on tomorrow's podcast. But Yoli Childs, awesome to see him doing what he's doing. He's playing at an astronomically high level right now, and like I said, I'm not sure if he ultimately ends up as an NBA player, but his play right now definitely isn't hurting him, and that's the good news about it. One other note for you, it was cool to see this yesterday on social media. The BYU football program went over to the Smith Fieldhouse. The entire team kind of had a send-off ceremony for the BYU women's volleyball team as they get ready to head out to Minneapolis for the Final Four of the NCAA women's volleyball tournament. Of course, Matt Bushman, kind of the spokesman for the BYU football team. His wife, Emily Lewis Bushman, is a player on the BYU women's volleyball team. And they sang the Cougar fight song for the volleyball team. Also gave him kind of a, I guess, a care package almost to say, hey, best of luck this weekend. And that was a cool gesture to see Kalani Sitake's team supporting one of their fellow teams in the BYU athletic department. Later on this week, I'll be chatting with my good friend that I work with, Adrian Leiser. He's a volleyball genius. He coaches volleyball at the high school level, watches it, and is just a big, big fan. He'll break down BYU's chances against Stanford on Thursday with me. Hopefully play that either on Wednesday or Thursday's show. I'll keep you updated on that, but excited to catch up with him and have him on the podcast. So there you go. That is today's show. Thanks again for joining me. It's been a blast to talk BYU sports with you each and every day. Please continue to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast if you haven't done so already. It helps us in more ways than you really know, and I thank you guys each and every day for your continued support of the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow talking BYU basketball against Portland State. Also catching up with BYU defensive coordinator Elisa Tuiaki later on this week. Also, like I said, mentioned, we'll catch up with Adrian Leiser to talk BYU women's volleyball, and we'll also catch up with BYU safety Troy Warner. I had a chance to speak with him yesterday after practice. So plenty of interviews and opinion and insight that we'll get to later this week as we get you ready for a bowl game, BYU basketball games, and of course BYU women's volleyball in the NCAA tournament. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sling TV. 7-day free trial for Sling TV by going to sling.com/lockedon. You can check it out, see if it's the right option for you for all your television needs. All right, thanks again for joining me on today's show. We'll be back tomorrow. This has been Locked On Cougars for December 11th, 2018.